We read from Acts chapter 16 a moment ago for our scripture reading this morning. Paul, in that chapter, is on his second missionary journey with his partner Silas. He had gone with Barnabas on his first missionary journey, and John Mark, Barnabas' nephew, and partway through the first missionary journey, John Mark got discouraged and went back home. And so when Paul and Barnabas got ready to go on the second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark again, and Paul said, "No, we're not taking him. He quit the last time." And so they actually split up, and Paul joined up with Silas, and Barnabas joined up with John Mark, and they went in different directions. And God then had two groups of missionaries instead of one. Sometimes God uses circumstances like that to get people where he wants them to be. But Paul and Silas are together with a group of people that traveled with them at Troas. And as we read a moment ago, Paul had a vision. He had a dream. "There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us, and help us.'" In this vision, Paul saw a cry for help. Cry from this man in Macedonia, said, we need you here to help us spread the gospel." Well, I'll just sort of tell you the rest of the story before I get to my message. Paul went to Macedonia. He went to the principal city in that place called Philippi. He started a church there that did wonderful things for God and had an influence for God in that part of the in that part of the world. But that church at Philippi, even that the people that Paul helped there, is not the subject of my message this morning. I use that just by way of introduction. You see, the Bible is full of cries for help. People crying out to God, and God hearing those cries for help and coming and answering those cries for help and meeting the needs in those people's lives. Now, I will tell you that God hadn't changed. He has not changed. He still hears our cries for help today. And even though he may not walk the face of the earth in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, God still answers those cries for help and gives us an answer to the things that we cry out for. This morning, I want to introduce you to five people that cried out for help that Jesus helped. And in the stories of those five people, I want to paint a picture this morning. I want to paint a picture of the cries that mankind needs to make as they come to God. And I know you may not understand exactly what I'm saying now, but I think you will as I get started, especially when I get through my second and third point. I have five this morning. But I want to introduce you to five people this morning that cried out for help. Jesus heard that cry and answered that cry for help. The first one is a leper man whose story we read in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass when he," Jesus, "was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.'" Back in those days, leprosy was a disease that was relatively widespread. Many people had it. It was a disease, a terrible disease to catch. There was no cure. There was nothing that any doctor could do. There was no hospital you could go to, like people are going to certain hospitals today to be cured of Ebola. There was no hospital that specialized in curing leprosy because it could not be cured by man. It was a disease that ate away at your body. It was a disease that resulted in pieces of your fingers and your toes and your ears, the extremities of your body just literally rotting and falling off. It was a disease that left your body full of open sores that ran pus. As a leper, you were unclean. As a leper, you were forced to move out of your home and out of your city. As a leper, you were forced to live in a leper colony, by yourself, separated from healthy people. If you passed a clean person on the street, you were responsible for crossing over. You were responsible for holding a rag over your upper lip and crying out, "Unclean, unclean," so that no person would come into your presence and catch the dreaded disease of leprosy. In the Bible, leprosy represented sin. Many, many times it represents the condition that we're in our sin. If you were a leper back in Jesus' day, you were considered unclean. You were considered an outcast of society. And there was no hope that you had. Because if you had leprosy, the only thing that you could look forward to was dying one day and the disease being over. One day Jesus came into a certain city, and there was a man full of leprosy. It had already ravaged his body. Already pieces of his fingers and his toes and the extremities of his body had fallen off. Already there was open sores all over his body. And the Bible says he approached Jesus. Now this wasn't something a leper was not supposed to do. You were not supposed to approach a clean person. But he, in faith, approached Jesus. And he made this statement. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." What this leper was crying out to Jesus was this: "Help me. Help me. I'm an outcast. I am unclean by way of this dreaded disease. I have no hope other than dying. But Jesus, if you will, you can fix it. You can make me clean. You can heal this disease." Again, every single person needs to understand that as a sinner, we are unclean in God's sight. Every single person needs to understand in our sin that we are cast out of the presence of God. That, in fact, is the penalty for sin. The payment that we owe for our sin is to be separated from God, to be cast away from Him. And in our sin, unless God intervenes, we have no hope. We have no hope. There's nothing that we can do to pay for our sin. There's nothing that we can do to take care of our sin. And we need to come like a leper to our Savior and say, "Help me, help me. You can cure me of this disease of sin that I have." Let me just tell you the rest of this story before we move to the next one. This leper cried out. He said, "Help me. If you can, you can make me clean." And the next verse says, and he put forth his hand. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from him. I want to tell you, I'm not through with my message yet, but we still have a God that hears the cry of needful man. We still have a God that will not turn a deaf ear to the times that we cry out to Him. We still have a God that will hear that cry and will intervene in our lives and answer our cry for help. So a leper. Let me secondly introduce you to a blind man. We find his story in the book of Mark, chapter 10, where the Bible says, and he went out of Jericho, Jesus went out of Jericho, and there was a blind man, a man by the name of Bartimaeus, who sat by the highway begging. Here was a man that all of his days was full of darkness. Here was a man that had to feel his way through life. Every morning somebody would come to his home and take him by the hand and guide him to a spot in the city, where he would sit all day begging for a penny, begging for a mite, begging for anything that people would give him. At the end of the day, somebody would come and pick him up from that spot and take him back to his home. Every day was spent that same way. Somebody picked him up. Somebody took him to his begging spot. He spent the day begging. Somebody took him back home. One day, something different happens. One day, the place where he's sitting, he hears a commotion. He hears the sound of a crowd. He hears the sound of many, many people gathering. He cries out, "Hey, hey, hey, I can't see. What's going on? What's happening? Why all the commotion?" And somebody tells him, "It's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And the Bible says, when this beggar heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." What this beggar was saying, I'm blind. I can't see. Jesus, would you help me? Would you help me? Would you help a blind beggar? Would you hear my cry and help me? Blindness describes every sinner. We are dirty and an outcast with no hope like the leper, but we are also blind dwelling in spiritual darkness. Every sinner, the gospel to them is foolishness until the Holy Spirit steps in. And so Barnabas cries out, Jesus of Nazareth, would you help me? Help me, I'm blind, I need your help. The people around him say, hey, just shut up, be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for a poor, blind beggar. But Barnabas doesn't listen to the people around him. Barnabas keeps his cry up, Jesus, help me, help me, help me, the Bible says. And I'm so glad it does. And I'm so glad that Jesus hasn't changed. He still has time for poor, blind beggars who have no spiritual sight, who have no spiritual understanding, who cry out to him, Lord, help me, help me. I need spiritual light. I need spiritual understanding. The Bible says about Barnabas in verse 49 of that chapter, Jesus stood still. He says, what will thou I should do unto thee? And Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said something wonderful to him, just like he said to the leper, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And Bartimaeus went away, not a blind man anymore, but a seeing man. A man no longer in darkness, but a man that walked in a light. Let me quickly go on to the third man I want to introduce you to. This morning, this was a man that did not cry out to Jesus, but cried out to one of his followers. A man whose story we find in the book of Acts chapter 8. An Ethiopian eunuch that was on his way home from a meeting in Jerusalem, or business in Jerusalem, that he used a trip to find out more about God. He was a man that sought after God, a man whose heart was hungry for God, a man who had a longing in his heart to know the God of the Jews. He was riding in his chariot on his way home. He had been to Jerusalem. He had been to the capital city of the Jews. He had been probably to the temple. He had secured a scroll from the temple, part of the book of Isaiah, or maybe the whole book of Isaiah. And he was riding in his chariot on his way home, reading that verse in Isaiah from what we know is chapter 53, where the Bible says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, who had just preached a citywide revival and saw the whole city get saved, but the Holy Spirit drove out to the wilderness and says, hey, there's a man that I need you to see out there. Philip goes up to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand who that one is that was wounded for your transgressions, that was bruised for your iniquities, whose every sin was laid upon him for you? And the Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I understand except some man guide me? What that Ethiopian eunuch was saying, I need your help. Help me, please. Help me. He might not have said, but I think he understood that he was a sinner, that he was an outcast, that he had no hope. He might not have said it, but I think he understood that he was in spiritual darkness, that he was blind. But what he did understand is, I'm searching for God. My life is empty. My life has no purpose. I'm looking for something that will satisfy the deepest longing of my soul. And I think that's God. But I need somebody to help me find him. The Bible says, Philip got in a chariot with him, opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And that Ethiopian eunuch found what he was looking for. The Ethiopian eunuch found what would give him peace and what would give him satisfaction. He found the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to Philip, hey, here's water. What's stopping me from getting baptized? And Philip says, there ain't nothing. Well, he didn't say ain't, but he said, there's nothing stopping you from getting baptized if you believe. The Ethiopian confessed his belief in Jesus. And Philip went down into the water and baptized him. I'm so glad we got a God that hears the cry of mankind. I'm so glad we got a God that isn't too busy and ignores the cries that mankind cries out to him. Let me introduce you to the fourth man that I want you to pay attention to this morning. A man, again, who encounters Christ. A man who was a father, who had a sick son, a son that was possessed. A father who brought his son to Jesus, hoping that Jesus would cast out the devil from the son and restore him to health. When the father and his son got there, Jesus wasn't with the larger group of disciples. He had been up on a mountain with James and John and Peter. He had been transfigured before them. His appearance changed. He turned into the brightness of pure light. And Moses and Elijah met him on that mountain. And a cloud came over the mountain. And these three disciples heard a voice from heaven. "Thou art my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." Peter said, "Oh, Jesus, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, and let us stay here." And Jesus said, no, there's still cries down there on earth that I need to hear. There's still people I need to help. We got to go down. They came down from the mountain. This father came running to him, said, "Jesus, help me. I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he turneth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. Oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." The Bible says, straightway the father cried out, said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." What he was saying, "I need your help. I believe, but it's just a little bit. I need your help to have more faith." Do you get the picture I'm trying to paint? Do you get the progression I'm trying to present? We start out as sinners, filthy, unclean in God's sight, cast away from him with no hope. We are in spiritual darkness. There's no light in our life. We have no understanding of what God did for us on Calvary. We have a longing in our soul. We know there's something missing. We know there's something more to life than we have, but we don't understand what it is. And then one day, we hear the gospel. One day, we hear about the one who went to Calvary's cross on our behalf, that took all his sin upon him. And that little bit of faith that God gives to every person begins to grow. And we, like this father, come to Christ and say, "God," we come to God and we come to the Holy Spirit. We say, "Would you give me more faith? I believe, but would you give me enough faith to put my trust in Jesus Christ?" And then I bring you to the last man. He was a man that was dying as he encountered Christ. He hung on the cross beside him. A thief on either side is to fulfill the prophecy in the Old Testament that he would die in the midst of thieves. Jesus on a center cross, a thief on each side. He'd already been beaten. They'd already taken the cat of nine tails and ripped open his back. They'd already punctured his head with the thorn of crowns. They'd already plucked the beard from his face and slapped him and punched him and beat him. They nailed him to a cross. He hung between two thieves. And in Luke chapter 23, the Bible says that one thief began to rail on him. He said, "If thou be the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other thief, who earlier in the day had joined in the mockery of Christ, who throughout the hours that they hung on the cross had a change of heart, and a change of mind. Instead of now mocking Christ, he says to the other thief, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What he was saying, Lord, I need you to help me get to heaven. I need you to help me. I'm dying. I have no hope unless you help me. It's too late for me to turn over a new leaf. It's too late for me to live a life of good works. It's too late for me to get baptized. It's too late for me to join the church. If you don't help me, nobody can and nobody will. These five men paint a picture of what every sinful person needs to do. Every sinful person needs to realize that in God's sight, we are a dirty, filthy outcast with no hope. Every sinful person needs to realize that we are in spiritual darkness, that we do not understand the things of God. Every sinful person needs to know and does know there's something more to life. There's something more to existence. And that something more is found in God. And we need to search out God. And we need to have somebody hear our cry to help us to understand the things of God. Every sinful person needs to come like that unbelieving father. That father who had a little bit of faith but knew that he needed more, and cry out to Jesus, help my unbelief, give me more faith. And in that faith, every sinful person needs to come like the dying thief and say to Jesus Christ, when you come into your kingdom, in faith I ask you to remember me. And I guarantee you, if you come to Jesus Christ with that faith, he'll say the same thing to you. Well, he won't exactly say the same thing to you that he said to that dying thief, because hopefully he won't say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise, but he'll make you a promise. He says, whosoever cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. Whosoever believeth in the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll make you that promise. You'll get to go to heaven with me. You'll be in heaven with me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. If you're here this morning and you're still in your sin, you're still an outcast from God, cry out to him. Cry out. He'll hear. He'll give you. He's already given you enough faith to believe. He's already given you enough faith to come if you exercise it. Would you this morning? I pray that no person would leave this auditorium this morning without knowing for sure they're on their way to heaven, without knowing for sure their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, without knowing for sure their sins have been forgiven, all because of Calvary, all because of what Jesus did for us there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the pictures that it paints of what Jesus did for us and what we need to do to come to him. I pray for every person in this room this morning, Father. I pray that every person here already has the assurance that they belong to Jesus Christ, because there was a time in their life where they exercised their faith and they came and claimed the grace that you offer to every single person, and claimed the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But Father, if there's one or two or more here this morning that's never done that, I pray, Father, that you'd help them see that Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. Nobody comes to you. Nobody comes to heaven except they come through him. And I pray this morning, if there's one, just one, here this morning that's never come to Christ, that right now they would see their sin. They would see that they're an outcast. And they would come to the only one that offers hope. The only one that offers a cure for their sin. They would come to Jesus Christ. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, I know that you've spoken to us about something this morning. I pray we'd be obedient. I pray that if you've talked to us about getting baptized, you've talked to us about joining the church, you've talked to us about something else that you want us to do, we'd be obedient to what you've told us. So I just pray that you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.